Awesome, y'all. So summer is coming up, and I just got to tell you guys, summer, come on, best season out of the year by far, favorite holiday. I mean, let's just walk through what you guys get to do for summer. No school. I mean, like, can I get an amen? No school. You don't have to wake up early. You don't have to listen to teachers. You don't have to do homework. You get to go on vacation. Who's going on vacation this summer? Who's going to camp this summer? I mean, come on. You get to take a break. It's fun. It's a blast. You got barbecue, snow cones, fireworks. I mean, summer, I mean, best season out of the year, 3 months where you just get to take a break and change pace and relax. And here's, lock in for me real quick, guys. Lock in. Here's what I want to tell you about summer. Is the easy thing to do is when you're taking a break and doing different things, maybe taking a break from school and taking a break from all the activity that was in your life during the school year, it can be easy to take a break from God and your relationship with the Lord. And so our goal and my goal right now for the next few minutes is just to encourage you how you continue to maintain your relationship with the Lord and not take a break from your faith during this summer. And so I'm going to walk through an acronym that we all know, HAGS, have a great summer. I'm going to use that. You probably heard, wrote it in a yearbook. It's cheesy, I know. But we're going to walk through how do you have a great summer to deepen your faith and not take a break from your relationship with the Lord. And so the first point I want to make is the H, is to have your own faith. Have your own faith. That is how you continue to have a great summer this summer and continue to move forward, is to have your own faith. And one of my favorite passages in scripture is found in Matthew chapter 11. And Jesus is addressing this group of people, and he's going to give the greatest invitation of all time. I know we've probably all been invited to birthday parties or to football games or to weddings or whatever we have. I mean, I know you've probably experienced the feeling of getting invited to something and you feel important. And right here, Jesus gives the greatest invitation in three words. And here's what he says in Matthew chapter 11, 28. We've probably heard it before, but he says, come to me. And I love what he follows with it. So there's the invitation right there. Jesus is telling us where to go. Go to him. And he says, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Here's what I love about this passage. Because this explains the character of Jesus. Because he doesn't tell you to go to an activity. He didn't tell you to go to a school event. He doesn't tell you to go to a group of people. He doesn't tell you to go to your friends. He tells you to go to him. And I want to challenge you guys with this. Because I think the problem, or sometimes we can run into as teenagers, the problem of, man, I know a lot about Jesus. I'm surrounded by a lot of things and activity about Jesus. But I don't know Jesus. I have a knowledge of Jesus, but I don't have a relationship with Jesus. And there's a huge difference. What I'd, the example I'll give around this is maybe some celebrities you might follow, maybe an athlete you like, or maybe an actor that you really admire. What we know about their life is usually just seen on TV, right? We know about them. We might know what sport they play or what movies they're in, or maybe even we see on their social media, we know who they're married to or what their interests are. And we know a lot about these people, but we've never actually met them. Right? We think we know them. We know who they spend time with, but we don't actually have a relationship with them. And that's the temptation for us going into summer, is that we can develop just knowledge about Jesus, but not actually a relationship, where Jesus is saying in this passage that I love, come to me. He gives you a direction. He doesn't say, just come to a group of people. He says, hey, I'm the Son of God. I have all authority and all power, and I want you to have a relationship with me. And so my question for you guys leading up to this is this. Is my faith owned or is it borrowed? Is my faith owned or is it borrowed? And what I mean by that is I think the temptation, as I continue to draw out this point, is that you can easily borrow faith from other people. Maybe your parents are encouraging you to always to read your Bible or always to pray or taking you to church, and you're borrowing somebody else's faith. And what I know about borrowing anything, whether it's, you know, a game or a toy, whatever it is, from somebody else, I know that there is a timeline to enjoying that thing. I know I'm eventually going to have to give it back, and I can't enjoy it for what it's worth, right? And so borrowing, you don't get to experience the joy of owning something. When you own something, there's way more joy because you get to use it all the time. There's a difference between borrowing something and owning something. And that's what Jesus is saying in that passage, is he wants us to own our faith. Own our faith. Choose to have a relationship with Jesus, not just choose to know about Jesus, because there's a huge difference. And so this is my first point, is that you would have your own faith this summer. You'd walk into this summer eager to learn. Even when you don't know things, even when you maybe have doubts or you have questions, you're going to go ask your parents. You're going to go find out the answer. And you're not going to just settle for not knowing. So own your faith. That's the H. The next point I want to make is ask for God's help. Ask for God's help. That's how you have a great summer, is you ask for God's help. And I think there's so many times we can jump into summer and get surrounded by this activity and this fun and forget that we're human and that we need help. And it's not weak to say that you need help. It's actually the most courageous thing that you can do, to say that you need the help of somebody else. And God wants us to ask for help, because God is what I wrote down, specializes in giving us strength. I love that. God specializes in giving us strength. And so my question for you on this point is, hey, where do you need to ask for help? What area in your life do you feel like you could gain help or understanding in? Maybe you have some doubts. Maybe you need help and accountability from other people. Maybe you need help from your small group leader to help teach you God's word. Maybe you just need to ask God for help and a desire to know him and a desire to pray and a desire to study his word. What area do you need help in? And the way you have a great summer is you don't just sit back, but you initiate and you ask for help. I love what Psalm 145:16 says. I'll throw it on the screen. It says, the posture of God. I love the posture of God right here. It says, you open your hand. Notice, God doesn't come at us with clenched fists and make us beg for his generosity. It says, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. Look how simple it is for the Lord to give us the desires of our heart. He just opens up his hand. It's an extension of a hand, and he gives generously. And so ask for God's help. What area in your life right now, if you could think back, think in your crazy cook right now, what area can you ask for God's help? And I encourage you this summer, go to God or go to your small group leaders and ask for help. So ask for God's help. The third point is get out of your comfort zone. This is a big one. Get out of your comfort zone. How many of you guys are going to camp this summer? A lot of y'all? What are we, team? Going to Kanakuk, Pine Cove? Oh, whoa. All right. If you're on a Pine Cove, I want you to scream. One, two, three. If you're going to Kanakuk, I want you to scream. One, two, three. Wow. We got some faithful Kanakuk. T-Bar M back there? Anybody T-Bar M? No. Sky Ranch? Is Sky Ranch in the house? We got a few of y'all. Yeah. Guys, camp is an awesome place to grow your faith. But the challenge with camp is you go to camp and you get on fire and you spend a week just learning about God's word. And then you, 2 weeks, true, 2 weeks. And then as soon as you come back, what happens? You get bored. You start to get uncomfortable. It starts to become a challenge. You're not surrounded by the same people. You're not encouraged like you once were. And you start to have to get out of your comfort zone. And you get uncomfortable and you retreat back to your old habits. And my question for you guys is today is, hey, are you willing to choose what is right over what is easy? Are you willing to choose what is right this summer over what is easy? Because sometimes it's not easy to follow Jesus. It's not easy to own your mistakes. It's not easy to ask for forgiveness. It's not easy to honor your parents. It's not easy to serve other people. But our faith is like a muscle. We have to exercise it, right? And for it to grow. That's what we always say. We want students to be known, accepted, taught about Jesus. And that last part is so important. Challenged to grow, because we serve a God who meets us where we're at, but also he loves us enough to not make us stay there. He wants us to grow and embrace the good works that he has for us. Ephesians 2:10 talks about. And so we have to step outside of our comfort zone and look for opportunities to go beyond our comfort and to serve others. And I love the verse right here in Colossians 3:23. It's probably a verse you've heard of, but I think it illustrates my point really well. Here's Paul, and he says, whatever you do, meaning he doesn't list specifics. He's just saying, hey, whatever you find yourself doing, whether you're washing your dishes or you're cleaning your room or you're leading a Bible study, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for human matters. So God's saying, or Paul's saying right here, like God is your primary audience. Whatever you find yourself doing, you know that God is your primary audience. He's the one that you're looking to honor. And that should change the way you serve. That should change the way you work. And that should help you, encourage you to embrace life outside of your comfort zone. Because that's where God wants to grow us, to challenge us to grow. So get outside of your comfort zone. The last one is the S, and we'll be done, is to stay focused on what God says about you. Stay focused on what God says about you. And every morning you guys wake up, every day you go throughout your life, you hear things about yourself, whether from a coach or a parent or a friend, sometimes really supportive things, sometimes really encouraging things, and sometimes negative things and hurtful things. I think we've all probably heard something about ourselves that we didn't like or that was hurtful or caused us to get discouraged. We all hear things, opinions about ourselves that we have to think through, and they can hurt us. And what I want to tell you guys this morning is the truest thing ever that's ever said about you is written in God's word. And here's what it says in Colossians 3:3. For you died to this life, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that. I want to focus on that three-word phrase right there, hidden with Christ. That's where your life is. Like if you believe in Jesus, that if you accepted his death, burial, and resurrection, that you are a son and daughter of God, that your life is wrapped up in Jesus. And what he's saying there is that your identity is now not found in your performance, what you can do, how talented you are, your abilities, your wiring, your gifting. Your identity is simply found in your position. That's unchanging, that never changes, your position under Christ. And the truest thing about you is what God says about you. The truest thing about you is what God says about you. And so my question for you guys is, what is the truest thing about you? Think about that. This summer, do you believe that you are a child of God? And does that inform everything else that you do? Because if you get caught up in the opinion of man or the approval of people, it's an exhausting way to live. The best label of what God says is that we are sons and daughters of him. And that's the security we can walk in to understand that. So this summer, I hope that you live by those four things. I'm going to repeat them just so we get them. Is that you have your own faith, that you ask for God's help continually, that you get out of your comfort zone and stay focused on what God says about you. So I'm going to pray those things are true of your life this summer. And then we'll get out of here. Lord, just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you that you call us children of you. And so I pray, Lord, that the students in this room would walk in the security of knowing, Lord, that you're a God who's called them by name, who loves them, that you open your hand, that you satisfy the desire of every living thing. You desire to meet our needs. And so I pray we'd go to you, we'd ask for help, we'd have our own faith. As you say, come to me like a child, and we'd walk with you in humility, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.